Hello and welcome to our second in this series of 1 Timothy. We call it God's Church Manual. In it, the purpose for it, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, Paul said to the pastor there at Ephesus. But if I tarry, it might take a while, and it's too important. I got to get this message to you, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, in our previous program, we looked at the first 4 verses. We'll just read those again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. As we said, Paul was not in this for a career. It'd be a great, it wouldn't be a very smart career move if you read all the trouble he got in. Certainly didn't pay a whole lot of money, but at the end of it, he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. I have kept the faith, and he learned through all of it how to be content. Well, he was an apostle by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He's writing unto Timothy, who is the pastor at the church of Ephesus at that time. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. We saw in our previous message that Timothy, this pastor, and those of us who are pastors today would need this grace, mercy, and peace from God. And if you haven't heard the first program, it'd be good to go back and get what we're talking about concerning that particular verse. He says to Timothy, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. It's perhaps he's thinking, I'm getting out of here. These people, I can't teach them anything. Sometimes you might feel that way, but it isn't so. He said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia. Why did he want him to stay there? That he would charge some that they teach no other doctrine. We cannot overemphasize the importance of doctrine. He said, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. And the endless fables that were coming in and genealogies were those who were coming in and saying that Paul didn't know what he was talking about and Timothy didn't know what he was talking about. We got to go back under the law. And so that was his issue. Our issues today are very similar. Not that we're being told we need to go back under the law, but that we're being told that we need a new plan of salvation, which is what was happening then. Well, we pick it up in verse 5. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers, for fathers and murderers of mothers, for men slayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now we'll start at verse 5. Now unto the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now the word here is charity. It comes from the Greek word agape, which is usually translated love. But the difference between love, that word, and the word charity, charity is usually used when giving help to those in need, knowing that you'll get nothing in return. If somebody sends a donation to help some hungry children in a developing country, and you send a charity donation to them, you're not going to get anything in return for that. Well, you will. You'll get a blessing. But as far as comparing it with our local churches, if you put some money in the offering plate there, you're going to get a return for that physically. You're going to have a warm building to meet in because it'll help pay for the heat in the building and the lights will be turned on. You'll have something to sit on. It'll be very comfortable. But if you look at this word charity, in comparison, is giving help to those in need, expecting nothing in return. And what Paul is saying to the pastor, don't be looking for something in return when you're feeding the sheep. What we do for the sheep. And he's trying to get the pastor to have that focus. He said, do it with charity out of a pure heart. Now, in the physical sense, the heart is the chief organ. Without it, we're going to be in serious trouble. And in the spiritual life, the chief part is the heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, he said here in verse 5, now keep the end. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. The end of the commandment. What's that mean? And what's he referring to as having a pure heart? Well, the commandment that we're looking at here, and if we go back to verse number 1, Paul the Apostle says, I am an apostle by the commandment of God. And what he is saying to Timothy, you are a pastor by the commandment of God. So he said to him in the last chapter of this first book of Timothy, that thou keep this commandment until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to keep this commandment with a pure heart. Now, what do you have to do to have a pure heart? Where's the line? Well, in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 26, Paul said, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so the context here, he's not talking about moral purity. He's talking about spiritual purity. He said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. I take you to record this day that this is a fact. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so he says to the pastor there at Timothy, at Ephesus, young Timothy, and he says to all pastors today, keep thyself pure. What is he talking about? Spiritual purity, that we declare all the counsel of God. Because the problem is that it is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. And he says this is the fulfillment, the end of that commandment, that you preach the whole counsel of God. And then he said, and you have to have faith, and faith unfeigned. Now, the Bible talks in Deuteronomy of having no faith. It talks in Matthew 6 and 30 of having a little faith. And then in Matthew 8 and 10, great faith. And in Matthew 9 and 29, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So we have no faith, little faith, great faith, and your faith. Now, he says what we have to have is unfeigned faith, and that same word has been translated in James chapter 3 as without hypocrisy. And so what we need to do is act like we say what we believe. Faith is really what we believe. Most of the time, only about 5 times out of all the times that you'll see the word faith in the New Testament is it talking about trusting God. The rest of it is talking about what we believe. Now, the foundation to that is if we really believe, we'll trust. But there's a difference in saying, you know, how is it you have no faith, Jesus said when they were on the lake there and the boat was going down. They didn't trust him, and that's what the word means there. But that's not what it means in any one of these verses. It's talking about what we believe. And so some people don't believe anything. Some people believe a little bit of the Bible, and some people have great faith. But Jesus said to those of us who know him as Savior, according to your faith, be it unto you. And our faith needs to be without hypocrisy. Now, he says here in verse number 6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now, what the pastor faced at Ephesus. Some were teaching false doctrine. Some turned aside unto vain jangling. Some made shipwreck. Some departed from the faith. Some turned aside after Satan. Some sinned openly. Some sinned secretly. Some coveted after money. Some erred concerning the faith. Some had their faith overthrown. Some were vessels unto honor, and some were vessels unto dishonor. Now look at that. I don't know what your church is like. If you're a pastor listening to this broadcast, I don't think you have that many problems. I never have. But notice it said, look, as we look at this, we see here that we need to face the facts that about 10% of the people in this situation, for the pastor at Ephesus, about 10% of the people were really sincerely following God. It's interesting that when we get into the seven churches there in the book of Revelation, and the Lord said to the Laodicean church, which is where we are now, he says to them, I would you were cold or hot. I have somewhat against you, he says, because you've left your first love. You're neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold. He even put cold ahead of hot. And so about 10%. I have found over the years that about 10% of the people in our churches would try to do right no matter what. They would do their best to follow the Lord. They would try to raise their families according to the things of the Lord, even if they didn't have a pastor. I have found about 10% wouldn't do right if Jesus was the pastor. They are just not going to do it. And about 80% are in the middle. They will go either way. If you're having a revival, okay, that sounds like fun today. If you're having a split, they might go that way. They're just kind of there. And it's interesting that Jesus said, I would you were cold or hot. He said, I wish you'd rather be cold than halfway in the middle. So make sure you're in that top 10%. Well, God has always had a remnant, and we need to face the facts, and we need to face the future. A remnant. You'll find that word in the Bible 92 times. The bad news is there's only a remnant. The good news is there is a remnant. Now, we go into the Old Testament, you look at the remnant, you can go all the way back to Noah. Peter said, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. That's a pretty small group. Ezra, Nehemiah, only a small remnant returned from Babylon. You remember they were told they could go back to Israel, you can go back and do all your worship in the Lord, do any way you want to do. And a very small remnant went back. Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah preached. Only a small group listened. Isaiah, we have the word remnant there 16 times. And in Isaiah 1 and 9, we read that he said, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been as Gomorrah. You get into the New Testament, when Christ was born, who knew anything about that? A few shepherds. What about when he was presented in the temple? Two people knew what was going on there. The rest of them, oh, they were going through the fundamental motions, but they didn't have a clue what was happening. During the ministry of Christ for 3.5 years, he had 12 men, and one of them was a hypocrite. In the early church, if you study it carefully, you'll find 7 times they met in somebody's house. They were small groups of people. In Romans 11 and verse number 5 says, even so then at this present time, there is a remnant. Now, if you want to get a local church going and you don't want to get so discouraged you don't know which way to look, face the facts and face the future. There's always been a small remnant. Put your focus on that remnant. It'll be so small, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? That word faith means, will he find anything, believing anything they say they believe? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says they're desiring to be teachers of the law, but they're not understanding anything they're talking about. Desiring to be teachers. Problem with these false teachers is they're very influential. They have the capacity to have an effect on the character development and the behavior of people in your local church. And it says they affirm. That means they strongly and publicly state what they're talking about as if it were a fact. What they're saying is, in the days of the local church there at Ephesus, when Timothy was the pastor, they're saying, no, in order to be saved, we got to go back under the law. They are changing the plan of salvation, and if you change the plan of salvation, you're not going to be saved. And the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And we have that damnable heresy that you don't need to repent, flooding our churches today. And unfortunately, for the most part, most preachers are just silent about it. Ho-hum, it's one of my friends that's preaching that. I think I better not say anything about it. They're desiring to be teachers of the law, not understanding what they're talking about. Now, what the Bible says here, and Paul's very careful, he says, we know the law is good if a man use it lawfully, and he goes down through that list, and we read it earlier. But he said, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And so we're talking here that problem in the day of this church here 2,000 years ago was the plan of salvation was under attack. And so they wanted to take them under the law. You couldn't get saved that way. And so Paul said to Timothy, oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He said, this gospel, this glorious gospel is committed to my trust. Timothy, pastor, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep in mind, this age in which we are living, the plan of salvation is under attack. What we need to do today is keep that which is committed to our trust. Be sure to be with us for lesson number 3. Remember, when it comes to 1 Timothy, the purpose is that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the pillar, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Be with us for lesson number 3.